Hello and welcome to episode 53 of the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Ben.
I'm Craig.
And I'm Derek.
And we still don't have Tank this week.
Poor Tank. He was actually able to record last week, and then we didn't.
Is it next week that he's coming back?
Ah, who knows? He's off doing missionary-y things.
Oh yeah, we're back from break now too, huh, Derek? And Craig? You said he was actually able to record last week. We took a week off.
Yep.
Must have been the week before. I don't know. It's all blurring into one at this time of the year.
Yep.
Yeah, I forgot.
Anything exciting happening with you guys this week?
Well, I could talk about iPhone defects again on my iPhone that I just got replaced.
No, the ongoing saga that is Derek's iPhone.
I don't know if I'm just incredibly observant about such things or what, but there is a tiny little, what looks
it's
like a
It's probably
hair,
that. I'm guessing it's that.
Like a half an eyelash, like a quarter of an eyelash on my screen that is black and is never anything else. And
hey, Derek, when you go out of a room, do you turn the light switch on and off four times?
No, I have never had issues with that. But I swear, I don't know if it's just that I beat my iPhones to death or if I just get all the bad ones. But this is a defect I'm willing to live with. I can deal with a quarter of an eyelash on the bottom.
Ew, there's a hair in your phone?
No, it just looks like it. Like, it's a little teeny curve in the display that's, well, unless, you know, one of the factory workers in China got half of an eyelash in there and then laminated the display to the glass. But anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not sending this
one back. I was going to say, it can't be one of Johnny Ives because I'm pretty sure he's bald, right?
Yeah, right. So are you guys getting a new iPhone this week? Did you order one today?
Derek, don't bring up the news before the news, man.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll wait for the news.
My plan runs out in November, so I'll get one then.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I have to get my screen replaced because I just noticed this week a whole bunch of rainbows shining back at me when I turned my phone on my desk.
Oh, that's not good.
There's cracks going all over the place. So,
wait, you just noticed that now?
Yeah, it's in a case. It's in a Stormtrooper case that is fairly well protected.
Whoa, that's cool.
But I was at the, I got it for free on Instagram. There's some place that makes cool cases and they give them away for free every now and then. I was getting my car serviced a few weeks ago and I had it on my lap and I went to get out of the car at the servicing place and it fell onto the bitumen. And I picked it up and looked at it and it seemed fine in the off state when the screen was black. And then the following weekend, I did the same sort of thing at home. I'm not normally accident prone, but my phone went flying onto the tiles in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And then, this week at work, I've just noticed an extra, a whole bunch of cracks that weren't there before.
Oh, boy.
I need to go to, do you guys know if they're, places that replace phone screens? Is that like a one-day turnaround? Or is it?
Yeah, of course there are.
Usually, they will replace them while you wait.
Also, you should just do it yourself.
Well, I could if I was a tech, if I was a real tech aficionado, but it's not like I'm on a tech podcast or something.
Oh yeah. Good point. My bad.
I will say that those pop-up shops are sometimes, of course, if you're only holding on to your
sketchy
iPhone for another two months, then you'll probably be okay. But I remember when I took my iPhone 4, when I cracked my screen, into one of those shops, that the GPS never really worked right after that, and the accelerometer was a little glitchy. Ooh. And he had to, there was something else, but usually when someone strange opens up your phone, sometimes things can go bad. So
I'll look for someone who doesn't look strange then.
This is why I always do it myself. It's way sketchier.
But if you mail it to Pennsylvania, I will get that taken care of for you.
I can't be without it for that long. I need it for work.
Okay.
Have you guys replaced them ever? Derek, have you?
Yeah, I have replaced many things on my phones in the past. I've replaced earpieces. I've fixed someone's camera that the cable got jostled loose. I think I've replaced a screen, and I've definitely replaced backs. So yeah, I have my own little iFixit kit here.
Same here. I've done a couple.
Behold.
I would be too nervous that I was going to stuff up the GPS or make the 5 key the 7 key or something accidental like that.
Accidental.
I've stuffed up a thing or two, if you will, on these whole phone repair things. One time I did an iPhone 4S for a friend. Oh, that was the worst.
What did you have to do?
Have you not done an iPhone 4 or a 4S?
I've done an iPhone 4, not a 4S, but they would be pretty much the same.
You replace the screen?
No, not the screen. Those, yeah, I've heard those are tough.
Yes. Yeah, they are. So every other iPhone model, you just pop the, you know, you take the two bottom screws out, you pop the screen off, you disconnect the top and the bottom for the fingerprint sensor and the proximity sensor for the earpiece, you know, mm-hmm. And you just take those off, replace the new screen, slap it on there. You're done. It's pretty quick, actually, if you mm-hmm. know what you're doing. Or even if you're following a YouTube video, it's just not that hard. You know, you got maybe like, I don't know, a half dozen screws, something like that. Mm-hmm. But with the 4s and the 4s's, the body of the phone is just totally different. Mm-hmm. So when you take the two bottom screws off, the first thing you do actually next is take the back of the phone off.
Yeah, yep.
And then all of the insides have to come out so that you can take the front off. You put the new front on, all the insides go back in, you put the back on, you put the two bottom screws in, you see if it works, it doesn't, and then you do all over again.
Oh no.
And in that process, there's like 30 little tiny mini screws that are all different shapes and sizes, yep. and they have to go back in the exact spot you put them in, yep. you got them from.
Or otherwise, else you might puncture through a logic board that will make your iPhone yes. brick. Yep.
Yeah, it's the worst. It's the worst.
And that sounds like what people will be doing in hell. Trying to fix unfixable iPhone 4s.
Yeah.
It's just the freaking worst. Like, oh gosh, it's terrible.
Anyway, so I might do that today. I might, after this podcast, I might try and go and find a non-sketchy iPhone repairman or woman and see if they can put my phone back together again.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds I hope good. It goes well.
Yeah. Best of Thanks. Luck.
All right. Let's get into the news.
This is Tech You Should Know, where we bring you 7 tech news stories from the past 2 weeks that we feel are worth your consideration. Samsung announced a new smartwatch called the Gear S3. Trying to scoop the next Apple Watch, presumably, it contains for the first time GPS and an optional LTE chip. No news on pricing or when they plan to ship the thing.
This actually looks like a normal watch.
Yeah, it's way bigger than the S2, I believe. People were all up at arms about this, like especially the ladies, because it's such an enormous watch. They can't really wear it anymore.
But it's also got like an actual face with things on it. Like I'm sure the Apple Watch does as well, but it just looks busier to me mm-hmm. than, I don't know, maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, but it looks busier. The interface looks busier. Just the clock itself looks busier than the Apple one.
I know next to nothing about Android Wear or Tizen, so
ditto.
I'm afraid I can't help you. SpaceX and Facebook have both hit a major setback this week when a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket exploded on the launch pad, destroying everything inside. The explosion is thought to have been caused by a faulty strut holding down a bottle of high-pressure helium snapping. Unfortunately, this rocket wasn't just a test rocket. It was carrying Facebook's Internet.org's first satellite, which was meant to deliver wireless to a large area of sub-Saharan Africa as a step towards Mark Zuckerberg's plan to provide basic connectivity to the entire world.
Wow.
That is a bad day. It's a very bad day.
Accident or sabotage?
Accident, as far as we know.
Conspiracy theorists unite.
And SpaceX actually just sent out a tweet earlier today saying, hey, if anyone has footage of the explosion, feel free to send that in. It might help us figure out exactly what went wrong. They don't know for sure exactly what went wrong yet. That was speculation, what I just...
They don't know what caused the explosion?
What initiated it. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
It's hard to tell when all you have is an exploded rocket to go off of.
Yeah, fair call. I thought, like, maybe in the monitoring process of the launch, they would have figured out what went wrong as it happened. But
yeah, I don't know. You'd think they'd have enough cameras on the thing.
You know, like the whole Houston, we have a problem type thing.
Right. Google has confirmed that Project Aura is officially dead. The modular phone project has been shelved by Google hardware chief Rick Osterloh, with the goal to streamline the company's disjointed product lineup. This ends 3 years of working towards a beautiful future where cameras, batteries, and even displays could be swapped out in seconds, making infinitely upgradable smartphones. Alas, 'twas too good to be true. In a very unfortunate turn of events for Samsung, they are having to recall all Galaxy Note 7 devices. Turns out the Note 7 has a bit of a nasty habit of burning and exploding, and Samsung began the recall after 35 global reports of the exploding batteries, although more keep popping up. Sales of the device have been stopped, and Samsung will voluntarily replace your current device with a new one over the coming weeks.
Have you seen pictures of these?
I actually haven't.
Oh, you need to look it up real quick. It is crazy.
They look cool.
I'm going to actually look them up again, too. Because I saw one, I think, on Twitter earlier this week, and I was just shocked.
Whoa. Florida man says his Galaxy Note 7 exploded and set his Jeep on fire. That is a fiery Jeep.
Whoa. Florida man. What?
Return of Florida man. For those of you outside the States, Florida man is kind of a meme in America. Or maybe everywhere. I don't know. But strange things always seem to happen in Florida.
Holy cow.
Wow. That's incredible. I'm putting that in the show notes. You all can go check that out for yourselves. Creators have been freaking out over another divisive move by YouTube, which has been taking the initiative of demonetizing certain videos that have, quote, non-advertising friendly content, unquote. This has apparently been happening for some time, but it's just that now YouTube has been notifying creators of the process. YouTubers were concerned that this was a way of censoring controversial people or topics on the site, but it seems that it's just an overzealous flagging bot. YouTube's intention is to take their advertising pool more attractive to advertisers by removing content that's violent, sexual, controversial, or otherwise not wise for creators to spend money on. I'm guessing Old Spice wouldn't really want their brand attached to a neo-Nazi video by accident.
Nope. Neither would I.
But regardless, YouTube's not handling this thing very well at all, which is, you know, par for the course for YouTube. Apple this week announced a new iPhone and Apple Watch. The new phone is called iPhone 7, and it indeed does not have a headphone jack. But it has many other desirable attributes, including new black colors, a matte black and a shiny jet black, significantly upgraded cameras, both front and back, including a rear dual camera on the iPhone 7 Plus, stereo speakers, solid-state force-sensitive home button, waterproofness, an actual higher battery life, and, as always, upgraded speed and performance. As for that lack of a headphone jack thing, Apple will be shipping both Lightning earbuds and a Lightning to 3.5mm jack adapter in the box with the iPhone. They've also released new AirPods, which are truly wireless earbuds with 5 hours of battery life at $159. As for the watch, the original Apple Watch was updated with a faster dual-core chip and renamed Apple Watch Series 1, and the new Apple Watch Series 2 is waterproof and has a GPS chip and a brighter display. Those started pre-order 2 days ago, and they will ship on the 16th.
I'm going to save my comments for the main topic.
All right. Sounds good.
But I have several questions for you.
Yeah?
Yes.
Which questions do you have for me, Ben?
No. That's what I'm saving for the main topic.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then let's continue.
Yeah.
And finally, this week, for our seventh story, Twitter has shipped an update to direct messages in its mobile apps to make it more competitive with other messaging apps, including the ability to send read receipts, typing indicators, and web links. Also, in unrelated news, Sony announced an update to the PS4 called PlayStation Pro that features a faster processor, better graphics, and support for 4K.
Wait, how is that unrelated news? I'm confused.
It's unrelated news, but I had to keep it to seven stories, so that's technically all one story.
Okay, great.
Just so we're clear on that.
Sounds awesome.
And that's all the tech you should know this week. If we left out something you think we should have mentioned, email us at ask@techreformation.com.
And for more hashtag TYSK, follow us on Twitter at Tech Reformation. Now it's time for Tech You Should Use, the part of the show where we talk about one piece of technology and why you should use it. Well, this week I wanted to talk about one of my favorite little Mac utilities, which I use actually a ton every day, several times a day, and it is called Alfred. So for those who aren't familiar with sort of launcher style apps, which is kind of what Alfred is, think of Spotlight Search. For what I'm about to tell you, it's sort of a replacement for that. So, I have, you know, on a Mac, you can push command space and it'll bring up Spotlight Search. So you don't have to click the little magnifying glass. By the way, if you have no idea what I'm talking about and you have a Mac, click the little magnifying glass in the top right corner of your screen. I'm shocked by how many people don't know that this exists.
I know.
Then basically, you can just, it's like a search bar for your Mac. You can just start typing and lots of things come up. But Alfred, in my opinion, is a much better version. And so I have replaced the command space hotkey with Alfred. So that's what comes up whenever I push command space. So, I use it for a ton of different things. It's actually a very, very powerful little app. One of the things I use it for a lot is just launching applications, obviously. So rather than trying to find it in my dock or find it in my applications folder or find it in Launchpad, because there's a lot of ways you can get to applications, Alfred is just a lot faster. So I can just push command space and start typing and then enter. It launches whatever I've highlighted. You can also, if it doesn't find a match, it will by default search Google for what you're looking for. So I can just type questions or a name of a person, and I can Google them really quickly, which is great. Opens a web browser tab with the Google results. You can do things like search Twitter and Facebook and Amazon right from Alfred. So you just type keywords like Facebook and then space anything you want to search on Facebook. Same thing with Amazon and Twitter. You can also do, and I use this one a lot as well, Google Maps. So if you just type maps and then a space and whatever you want to search for, like I needed to go to the bank today. So I just typed maps and then the name of my bank in Alfred, hit enter, and it opened up Google Maps in a web browser with that pin on the map. And so just little cool little tricks that you can't do in Spotlight. Alfred also comes with a, they call it a power pack. So the application's free, so anybody could get it today. Download it from their website, not the Mac App Store, because the version on their website has a little bit more, I'll just call it hooks into your Mac so that it can do more. It's more powerful. Whereas the Mac App Store version, they can't obviously do that because they have various regulations to be in the App Store. So get the one from their website, which is at alfredapp.com. And then if you like it, you can get the paid version, which is only like $17, I think, for a single user, $27 for a family. And then if you just really want to support them, you can actually pay more for a single user. And you get lifetime upgrades. They're on version 3 right now. And with the Power Pack, you can do quite a lot. I don't have it. I've been meaning to get it, but just haven't budgeted for it yet. So with the Power Pack, I know one of the things you could do that I would use a ton is you can do custom keywords. So like I was mentioning, if you type in Twitter or Facebook or Amazon or Maps and then type in a search criteria, it'll search those things. You can actually set your own, and I think it's unlimited. You can set as many as you want. So I could just type A for Amazon so that I don't have to type Amazon the whole way. It does do a little autocomplete feature on the free version, but you know, it'd just be a lot faster and more convenient if I could set up my own special hotkeys. So that's one of the big ones that I'm looking forward to with the Power Pack. I know it does a lot of other stuff that I just don't know about. But if you go to their website, alfredapp.com/powerpack, you can see some of that stuff. So do you guys have anything like this? Have you heard of Alfred? What do you think about all that?
Yes, I have. And there are many, many wars fought over these productivity applications on the internet.
Yes, there are.
I have LaunchBar, and I've been a LaunchBar person for a long time. I tried Quicksilver a little bit and realized that was just buggy as all get out and not worth it. But I have enjoyed LaunchBar quite a
bit. Didn't Quicksilver go the way of the dodo?
No, it's back. It was kind of dead for a while, and then someone took it up again, and it's being actively developed. in quotes. Sorry for those listeners who can't see that. But I had no luck with it. But Launch Bar has been pretty great for me. I don't know what it costs, but it does basically the same stuff that that Ben described Alfred doing. Although I'm sure each application has their advantages and stuff. You know, it's great. I use it for moving files around really quickly. Like you can copy or copy paste, like search for a file and then, you know, hit Command C and then search for a folder and select that and hit Command V. And it makes that pretty quick once you get used to that. And there's lots of different little tricks with these applications. Like you could go look up YouTube videos on like productivity tips for these kinds of things and still find new things after, you know, a month or two. Like,
oh yeah, I have no pretense at all that I did not give a very thorough explanation of what it is, because I don't think I've figured out all that you can do. But man, there's just a ton of power packed in that little search bar.
Yeah.
I just saw that one of the things I've never tried, there's an iOS app for Alfred where you can sort of start an Alfred remote server on your Mac and control your Mac from your iPhone, which I've never tried. Seems pretty cool. I don't know what all you can do, but I mean, there's just a ton. They have a newsletter that they send out that gives you like pro tips, like kind of regular pro tips of here's something new you can do that you might not know about, which is pretty helpful. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah, I highly recommend one of these launcher applications. And even if you don't want to pay for a launcher application, I highly recommend starting to use Spotlight if you don't. Like hitting Command Space to find an application to open and then typing in what you want and hitting return is just so fast, way faster than messing around with your mice. And if you spend some time with these, you will get very fast and people will think you are doing magic on your computer. That's fun.
Yeah, the way I think of it is, if I'm ever touching the mouse, my first thought is, there's probably a way I can do this better.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But maybe that's just the programmer in me.
Yeah, and launcher applications are an easy way to get into that, as opposed to looking up, you know, how many, you know, all the different ways that you can do things with obscure keyboard shortcuts, you know. Yeah, I would probably recommend Alfred to someone who is looking into an application like this, because did you say there's a free tier?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, so start out with a free version, see what you think. I recommend getting buying the power pack and seeing what is, you know, kind of what is involved and start using it, because it's very useful. Very useful.
So, real-time update. The iPhone app for Alfred is $5, if anyone cares about that.
Gotcha.
I still might have to check it out, because this thing is really helpful for me.
Yeah. Yeah, let me know how that goes for you.
Sure thing. And that is Tech You Should Use this week. Our sponsor this week is missionalware.com. Missionalware is your online hub for Reformed theology, apparel, gifts, and just really a lot of other things like coffee mugs. In fact, they have a special going on right now where you can save 25% on all Calvin coffee mugs. So you can get a coffee mug to drink your coffee in, and it'll have Calvin's face on it because you're Reformed and Calvin's awesome. So why wouldn't you have a mug with his face on it? Also, I just got to say, I'm sitting at the website right now looking at missionalware.com, and I just really appreciate this website. I build websites for a living, and this is a really good one. So even if you don't buy anything, just go over there and check it out. So even if you don't go buy anything, head over there and check out what they have and just navigate around the website. It's pretty neat. If you do end up picking something up from the website at checkout, tell them Tech Reformation sent you.
Leaving the 99 and searching the one. This is Kevin with the Hope for the Journey podcast, and we have a message for you. You are not alone. Whether you're a parent or a pastor, if you're dealing with a prodigal, you are not alone. Join Nick, David, and I as each week we discuss those feelings you're feeling, the fear, the doubt, the guilt, the questions, the temptation not to ask for prayer this week because you've asked every week beforehand and you're starting to feel needy, and the begging God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Whether it's discussing my personal journey, parenting a child with drug addiction, or pastors we interview who are doing creative ministry to the prodigals in the far country, we try to discuss this difficult topic with a little bit of levity and a lot of hope, giving parents hope for their journey and encouraging churches to remind people that He is faithful. When the whole earth shakes and the mountains break, I won't be afraid because you are faithful.
So for our main topic this week, this was suggested to us inadvertently by Andre. We'll go with Andre. I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name. In the tech channel of our Slack team.
Hang on. Andre, is that how you pronounce it? How's it spelled?
A-N-D-R-E-Y.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Andre. Cool. Or Andre. Something like that. Anyway, I'm terribly sorry.
I would have thought Andre if it didn't have the Y, but with the Y, meh. We'll find
terribly
out.
Sorry for how I pronounce your name. But anyway, he posted this really great article from ChristianPig.com called How the New iPhone Affects Your Christian Life. And I thought through
this. This really great article.
It was really in-depth, wasn't it? Super good.
Yeah.
Let me just read the entire contents of this article right now.
The entire contents. How long's the podcast going to be?
Well, longer than usual, I guess. So how the new iPhone affects your Christian life? It doesn't. There you go. That's the entirety of the article.
That's literally the whole thing.
That's literally the whole thing. But I wanted to talk about...
And that's a wrap on Theology from the Headlines.
Oh, but we can't leave without nitpicking little tiny words. And
two words.
Yeah, those two words and questioning every side of the argument. But anyway.
Let's exegete this article, shall we?
What does it really mean? What does it really mean in this context?
Indeed. So much profundity behind those two letters.
Can we even say that it exists?
It's an acronym that stands for information technology.
All right, I'm done. I'm sorry. Please continue.
So I just wanted to bring it and see what you guys thought about this opinion. How does the new iPhone literally affect nothing about our Christian life?
So you're asking, is it true?
Yes, pretty much. And if not, why? And if so, why?
I think this phone itself doesn't affect your Christian life, but your use of it might if you allow it to. So,
oh man, how do we keep doing this?
As in, it's all about balance. So if
Derek, is this why you brought this up?
Maybe.
No. Let me clarify. We're not going back down the tech neutrality thing. We had an episode early on about nomophobia, so that's what I was getting at. I was just saying, you know, the phone itself, yeah, it's a phone, but there are good things about phones and there are bad things about phones, and I'm not going to say whether it's neutral or more one way or the other. All I'm going to say is I wouldn't not get an iPhone for fear that it would ruin my Christian life. Nor would I get one thinking that it's going to revolutionize my Christian life. I would get one if I need a new phone, and then I would use it, hopefully, appropriately to assist me in my Christian life.
Oh, that's sensible.
Yeah, that's how I'd look at it.
Okay, wait a minute. Now, so, how the new iPhone affects your Christian life. Not just your life, but your Christian life.
Oh, sorry, my life. It's the same process for my other life, which it's not really separated like that, but anyway.
And he says it doesn't. Interesting. I'm just trying to exegete this two sentence article here. Let me think deeply about
One sentence.
Really? Sorry, not two sentence. Not two sentence. Two word.
Yeah.
Two word article. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it could affect your Christian life, like depending on how you use it. Like Craig said, I don't know. I mean, like I'm thinking about all the ways I use my iPhone now. I got an iPhone 6. I might get an iPhone 7. I don't know. I might not. And I use it for a lot, like a lot of things in my Christian life. And I would say that I think, Craig, that the distinction you were trying to avoid is a good one, which is my Christian life is my life. So it doesn't really change if the article says how it affects your life versus how it affects your Christian life. They're the same thing in my life in particular. But so does it affect my life at all? I think it could. I would say just for those, like, I don't know, if you really want an iPhone 7 to the point that that's the thing you're most concerned about, you might have to deal with some sin issues in your heart. Mm-hmm. That certainly affects your Christian life. Like, we certainly don't want to idolize technology in particular, like iPhones and Apple technology and things, or in specific, I should say. Derek, you look like you're ready to say something. What is it?
Well,
come on,
I would
with
say
the technicality stuff.
The fact that you said about the fact that distinguishing between our Christian life and our normal life should not be a distinction to call to attention. Like, our Christian life should just be our life in general.
Right. Yes, I agree.
Which is,
so,
yeah,
we're all on the same page there.
I said that wrong.
I had no doubt we would be.
I tried to undo that.
No, you were saying what we're saying.
Yeah, I know. It's just at the beginning I was kind of confusing in the way I said it, that's all. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are distinctions you can bring, you know, whether if you call certain parts of your life your quote unquote Christian life, even though you're a Christian. Anyway, we're not talking about that. But I would say
this is sort of why I wish this wasn't a two word article. Like, is he making that distinction? What is this guy's name? Hold on. Christian Pig. Justin Hartford. Justin, are you making the distinction that we have Christian parts of our life and non-Christian parts of our life?
Mm-hmm. We need to have him on for an interview, clearly this is what this is.
Yes, let's do it.
I also think we should do like a John Piper look at the book video with this article, and you know, underline the or put a box around the word it, and then put an arrow up to the title, and you know, it is definitely must be referring to the iPhone. Doesn't, you know, underline that in a different color. Well, that's a contraction of does not. And so, like, really pull
yeah, we'll
apart.
Have to circle the it and then draw an arrow up to the title where it says the new iPhone and underline that for sure.
Yeah.
That'll maybe be the first thing we do. Yeah. Let's really ask questions of the text. What is it trying to tell me? What is the it?
By the way, I'm not really paying out Look at the Book. It's a great podcast, but I'm paying out the article more than anything.
Yeah. But all kidding aside, I would say that the new iPhone can't help but affect your life in some way or another, even if it affects the fact that you know that there is a new iPhone present that you do not have.
Does it affect your life, or are you allowing it to affect your life? I think that's the issue that's where the language becomes tricky for me, because it in and of itself is just an inanimate object.
Mm-hmm.
So, but rocks don't generally affect my life unless I'm trying to stand on them,
right?
Or pick them up. What if they're really big rocks?
Or pick them up, or throw them at something, or use them for something.
Yeah, you could break your back if you pick up a really big rock.
Mm, true.
Or if, or this if,
or like
happens.
If you picked up a really, really big carton of milk that was full and heavy, that might put a lot of strain on you, and that would affect you a lot.
It would. Mm-hmm. Inanimate milk. There's an episode title.
Derek, what's the point you're making, though?
I don't really have a point. I just
thought
this article was really funny, and I wanted to riff on this a little bit. What you said you had some things to ask me earlier on during Tech You Should Know about.
Oh yeah, are you going to get the new iPhone? Are you even going to get the new iPhone?
No, probably not. Because
we why not? What kind of phone do you have right now?
I have an iPhone 5S.
Whoa!
Yeah, so it's pretty old.
I thought you had a space gold or whatever it is, rose gold, something or other.
Space gold. No, I just have a normal gold.
No, he doesn't have rose gold. It wasn't available when he started, when he got it.
Exactly.
Is that your wife's phone, Ben?
No, this is my phone. Look at that shiny gold.
Oh, gosh. I can't talk. I have a white iPad, so meh.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all right.
Everyone with white iPads is going to feel really hurt by that comment.
No, when I got this is a really weird thing. When I got the white iPad, it's an iPad 2. So it was years ago. It's really old and slow now. But when I got it, it was like really uncool to get a white one. It was you were considered an effeminate man if you had a white iPad, which I think is really strange. I don't know why that was. It is. But it was just kind of only girls had white phones and only guys had black phones. It was maybe it was just in Australia, but that's just how it played out for a while there. Bizarre.
Yeah. Anyway, Ben, are you getting a new iPhone?
I might. My wife and I were talking about this today. Because she has an iPhone 6 and I have an iPhone 6 Plus. So, like, contracts are up. I typically have upgraded every 2 years just because I can. And usually the feature set is different enough that makes it worth it. And also the previous phone, although it's in usable condition, you know, after 2 years of use, they say you have 80% of the battery capacity you started with. You know, mm-hmm. It's noticeable differences. Mm-hmm. Even if you haven't, you know, scratch the screen or crack the screen, which I never really do. But, you know, just a good opportunity to do that. We were talking about the iPhone upgrade plan and potentially doing that. But it's just a lot of monthly cost, you know, so we would have to look at the budget and try to figure that out. Because obviously we're not paying on our phones now. So, 'cause it's 2 years are up. So
never get a payment plan. Not if you listen to Dave Ramsey. Actually, I think the Apple upgrade plan is not as bad as I initially thought. I thought it was a trap at first because it seemed like there was a lot more that you were paying than the cost of the phone, but you're also getting Apple Care with it.
No.
So
yeah, it's actually no extra cost. So I did some looking into it recently because a buddy at work mentioned maybe switching to it. So he was asking me some questions about it and we were talking through it. He made a really good point. Which is that they didn't do much this year, potentially, and this is totally like rumorville / opinionville, but potentially because next year is the 10-year anniversary of the iPhone. And so maybe there's going to be a big form factor redesign or something like that, big killer feature or something next year. So it actually makes a lot of sense if you're out of your 2-year contract to do the iPhone upgrade plan for the iPhone 7 so that next year when the new one comes out, you can get the new one at no extra cost. And the thing that he told me today was, because I was wrong, I thought that when you upgrade your phone on the iPhone upgrade plan, you then commit to another year of paying. So it's another 2 years on that new phone. But actually, you get two phones with 2 years of iPhone upgrade plan. So you're really not paying any extra other than the cost of the device in Apple Care. And it's over time too, which might help some folks. I don't typically agree with Dave Ramsey on everything. And no, that's one
either.
Of the ones that I wouldn't agree on, but you know, I mean, I would definitely agree on don't buy something you can't afford. So we don't do that.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yep. On the whole next year's iPhone, yes, I think next year's iPhone is going to kind of be a doozy. I think this year's iPhone was a setup for next year. I mean, we can talk about
in what way?
We can talk about whether the headphone jack, losing the headphone jack was a better decision or not, but I'm guessing, I mean, they needed to fit the Taptic engine in there for the home button. The home button is now a completely solid state. Which would allow for a full screen with a home button hidden underneath it. That would be Force Touch. It's about time Apple did an OLED display. It just seems like the improvements are almost for the rumored spectacular iPhone, for next year. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what it is. I'm kind of disappointed we started getting rumors on that phone like 4 months ago, though.
I have quit listening to the rumors. One, because I don't need to want an iPhone more than anything else and think about an iPhone more than anything else. And so I don't need any help in that. And two, because it kind of takes all the fun out of the keynote when it happens, because it's like, oh, everyone already knew this was going to happen. Yeah. So there's still some like excitement in watching. I actually didn't even watch this one because was busy with something else. But, you know, I usually enjoy their presentation. They make such a show of it that you might as well enjoy it and be entertained by it and learn new things, I guess. But yeah. I don't know. So does the new iPhone affect your Christian life?
Nah.
If you let it.
Probably not that much.
I think we would all agree it depends.
It does to some extent, but, you know, you can make your own decision. Use discernment. Use discernment on your own freaking life and figure out whether, you know, it affects you in a meaningful way. And if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, because it's really all in how you use it. So it's up to you to decide.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we'll just leave it at that.
I really just said that for Derek's benefit.
I love you guys. It's good to be back.
And I guess that's a wrap on our main topic.
But that's good.
Whatever. Justin, feel free to email us at ask@techreformation.com if you violently disagree.
Violently.
But only if it's a violent disagreement. If it's anything less, just don't even bother.
If it's a violent disagreement, just remember that other American states are much closer than Australia.
Well, do you guys have any recos this week?
I have two recos. The first is another music one. I feel like I'm doing a lot of music lately, but there's good things coming out. First thing I'll say is that the Kickstarter that I mentioned last time we recorded a couple of weeks ago did get funded, so that's awesome. So some sweet country acoustic psalms coming out sometime next year or whatever. And the other one is the band called The Digital Age. They are David yes. Crowder band minus David Crowder. Been into them since they sort of started. Still really enjoy Crowder. He's they amazing by himself, but Digital Age are doing cool stuff and they're releasing a new album. And I put in a pre-order for their major pack that has all the vinyl and everything with it. So I'm fanboying out on that a little bit at the moment. So check that out. It's called Galaxies. You can look on their website. They're a little bit K-lovey, but they're really good. And the other one is, I'm going to put a link in the show notes because it's football finals in Australia. And I think I've shown this video to Ben and Tank and Derek before, maybe. But I want to share it with the world. It's called What is AFL Aussie Rules Explained or something to that effect. And it's basically explaining Australian rules football for Americans. And because it's quite different to NFL. So we'll chuck that in the show notes and people can learn about Australian rules football.
Well, I would like to recommend, let me recommend a person first. Dr. James White.
Who's that, Ben?
Would recommend him.
I've never heard of him before.
He is my favorite Christian apologist. Maybe I should say favorite living Christian apologist. I don't know. I'm just going to go with the bold one. Favorite Christian apologist. Just a really smart dude. I don't even know if he'd appreciate how I'm talking about him right now, but really smart dude. He is very godly and humble, as far as I can tell, because he will buy gifts for people who hate Christianity as he debates them and refutes everything they have to say, which I just think is so great. Mm-hmm. Like, what a display of humility and love for people. Like, he really wants to see these people come to know the Lord. I love that about him. But also will not compromise even the slightest on the truth and just a refutation of falsehood. I love it. But I wanted to specifically recommend the latest episode of The Dividing Line in which he deals with some recent comments Andy Stanley has made that are yes. kind of alarming.
Yes.
And also does a comparison of a more evidentialist approach to apologetics and a more presuppositional approach to apologetics, because him and Frank Turek debated the exact same guy on the exact same topic, and he plays a section of the debate that somebody sent him. He wasn't looking for it, but someone sent it in, and he played a section of the debate on how they responded to the problem of evil, and you can see the contrast between the two apologetic methods in probably the most clear format I've ever seen. He also, in that episode, it's very long, mentions one of the greatest debates that's ever taken place between Greg Bonson and Gordon Stein, which if you've not seen that, you should just listen to that also. But he plays one of the best sections of the debate in which Bonson does what Bonson does to this poor, unfortunate atheist man.
Poor, unfortunate atheist who's like one of the most famous atheists.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just spectacular. I was actually at the gym this morning running on a treadmill, listening to this part of The Dividing Line, and I busted up laughing out loud. Just, I don't know what everyone else thought around me, but I'm sure they were confused because it was just so funny. So check that out.
By very long, Ben means over 100 minutes.
Very long.
Yeah, it's like 2 hours long, but it's so worth it.
Yeah, I especially recommend the Andy Stanley segments. He's done a couple of them now. Chris Roseborough's done one or two of them too, but they're definitely worth listening to. Andy Stanley's one of those annoying guys that you can't write off as a heretic, but he says things that are like false teacher-esque, but like really hard to tell my family not to listen to them because of he's kind of close. But listening to these kinds of things demonstrate the error of, you know, what he's talking about.
And if you would like to connect with us, you can do so by jumping in our Slack team at slack.techreformation.com.
And you can visit our website to search for past shows and topics. Just head to techreformation.com.
We are a part of the Theology Mix Network. You can check out the website or the iTunes feed in the show notes. Bunch of great shows over there.
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Just kidding. That was a joke. I don't know if it needs clarification. That was a joke.
No, it's that was, I'm not going to, I won't put the clarification in. It's clearly a joke.
Can you put this part in after the credits so that the clarification's still there?
I assumed after the credits was going to be just me going four.
That's what it was going to be. But now it's going to be both and people will have no idea why Craig is saying four.
So disconnected. Oh, well.